Part 3. You will hear a woman on a radio program interviewing a driving instructor about his job. For questions 19 to 26, choose the correct answer A, B, C, or D. You will hear the recording twice.
We've invited Fred Watson, a driving instructor with over 20 years' experience, to talk to us about learning to drive. Well, Fred, I suppose you must find your job frustrating at times.
Not at all. I enjoy it most of the time. But, of course, you do get the odd difficult customer. Most people are very impatient to pass the test as quickly as possible in order to keep their expenditure down.
Would you say it's expensive to learn to drive these days, then?
Well, it depends on several things. If you come to a private instructor like me, it's probably going to be a bit less expensive than going to one of the big schools. The thing is, people have usually heard of the big schools and trust their reputation, whereas I tend to rely more on personal recommendations.
Does that mean you have to try harder to get customers?
Not now. When I started, I had to, but in fact, I'm fully booked at the moment, as my prices are quite competitive.
Learning to drive is usually regarded as a rather nerve-wracking experience for the learner. What do you think?
Well, it can be, but I try to get my clients to unwind before the lesson. I ask them to sit quietly in a driver's seat for a few moments with their eyes closed. You'd be surprised how it changes some people. I feel much more ready to drive if they've had a few quiet moments.
Yes. I suppose some people are more nervous than others. What would you say makes people most nervous?
Hard to say. Probably it's the fear of not being able to react fast enough. At first they're trying to master the controls of the car. Then they start worrying about whether they're in the right part of the road and whether they've signalled in time and so on.
Yes, there seem to be so many things to remember at once.
Yeah.
I remember thinking I'd never master all of it, however long I practiced.
Usually people master the controls fairly quickly, but they have to think more about what they're doing, and until it feels almost automatic, they still make silly mistakes, which occasionally lead to accidents.
So, how soon can you let a pupil take total control of the car?
It differs from one person to another, of course, but generally speaking, I allow them to drive without dual control when I'm certain they can use the gears correctly, stop in an emergency, and have reasonable awareness of other road users.
What kind of person makes a good driver, then?
Well, you're asking me to commit myself here, aren't you? Well, first of all, let me say I have no evidence to suggest that either men or women are better drivers. What I would say, though, is that a certain level of confidence is necessary, a belief that you can and will succeed. But it's dangerous to be overconfident, and you can end up making wrong decisions. I'm afraid some young people are over-enthusiastic and start by driving too fast and taking risks. Now, I have to warn them that this approach is not going to make them into a good driver. What I like to see is someone who's prepared to take time and patience to develop the skill.
Do you think intelligence has anything to do with it?
Depends how you define it. Do you mean academic ability or practical good sense?
Well, I suppose I'm asking you whether either of these is relevant.
Practical good sense, alertness and confidence are more important. But you also need a reasonable memory, as you have to get through the part of the test where you recognise signs and symbols. And, of course, you need to know them when you're a driver out there on your own.
Yes, and with the volume of cars on the road today, quick reactions are essential too.
That's right. Driving is getting more demanding all the time, so we must make sure people learn efficiently in the first place and give them value for money.
Well, I'm sure Fred's pupils are getting value for money. Thank you for talking to us, Fred.
Sure.
And good luck to all you listeners who are about to take your driving test.
Now you will hear the recording again.
We've invited Fred Watson, a driving instructor with over 20 years' experience, to talk to us about learning to drive. Well, Fred, I suppose you must find your job frustrating at times.
Not at all. No, I enjoy it most of the time. But, of course, you do get the odd difficult customer. Most people are very impatient to pass the test as quickly as possible in order to keep their expenditure down.
Would you say it's expensive to learn to drive these days, then?
Well, it depends on several things. If you come to a private instructor like me, it's probably going to be a bit less expensive than going to one of the big schools. The thing is, people have usually heard of the big schools and trust their reputation, whereas I tend to rely more on personal recommendations.
Does that mean you have to try harder to get customers?
Not now. When I started, I had to, but in fact, I'm fully booked at the moment, as my prices are quite competitive.
Learning to drive is usually regarded as a rather nerve-wracking experience for the learner. What do you think?
Well, it can be, but I try to get my clients to unwind before the lesson. I ask them to sit quietly in a driver's seat for a few moments with their eyes closed. You'd be surprised how it changes some people. They feel much more ready to drive if they've had a few quiet moments.
Yes. I suppose some people are more nervous than others. What would you say makes people most nervous?
Hard to say. Probably it's the fear of not being able to react fast enough. At first they're trying to master the controls of the car. Then they start worrying about whether they're in the right part of the road and whether they've signalled in time and so on.
Yes. There seem to be so many things to remember at once.
Yeah.
I remember thinking I'd never master all of it, however long I practiced.
Usually people master the controls fairly quickly, but they have to think more about what they're doing, and until it feels almost automatic, they still make silly mistakes, which occasionally lead to accidents.
So how soon can you let a pupil take total control of the car?
It differs from one person to another, of course, but generally speaking, I allow them to drive without dual control when I'm certain they can use the gears correctly, stop in an emergency, and have reasonable awareness of other road users.
What kind of person makes a good driver, then?
Well, you're asking me to commit myself here, aren't you? Well, first of all, let me say I have no evidence to suggest that either men or women are better drivers. What I would say, though, is that a certain level of confidence is necessary, a belief that you can and will succeed. But it's dangerous to be overconfident, and you can end up making wrong decisions. I'm afraid some young people are over-enthusiastic and start by driving too fast and taking risks. Now, I have to warn them that this approach is not going to make them into a good driver. What I like to see is someone who's prepared to take time and patience to develop the skill.
Do you think intelligence has anything to do with it?
Depends how you define it. Do you mean academic ability or practical good sense?
Well, I suppose I'm asking you whether either of these is relevant.
Practical good sense, alertness and confidence are more important. But you also need a reasonable memory, as you have to get through the part of the test where you recognise signs and symbols. Mm. And, of course, you need to know them when you're a driver out there on your own.
Yes, and with the volume of cars on the road today, quick reactions are essential too.
That's right. Driving is getting more demanding all the time, so we must make sure people learn efficiently in the first place and give them value for money.
Well, I'm sure Fred's pupils are getting value for money. Thank you for talking to us, Fred.
Sure.
And good luck to all you listeners who are about to take your driving test.